Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us through it as well. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to each of us through me tonight. Give us hearts that are willing to listen to you and hearts that are willing to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But a school teacher, he injured his back. And as a result, the teacher had to wear a plaster cast on the top part of his body. Now, thankfully, the teacher's shirt, it covered the plaster cast. The cast wasn't noticeable. Now, on the first day of term, with a plaster cast still under his shirt, the teacher found that he'd been assigned to the toughest class in the school. So walking confidently into the rowdy classroom, he opened the window as wide as possible and then made himself busy at the desk. When a strong breeze made his tie flap, he took the desk stapler and stapled his tie to his chest. Now, from that day on, discipline, it was never a problem. Now, as an observer, we can see how the students, they misunderstood what was really going on with the teacher. And in a similar sort of way, that's where we find the disciples tonight, misunderstanding Jesus and then having a revelation of him. The temple tax, it was a tax that was collected each year from every Jewish male adult. And the money that was raised, it was used to pay for the animal sacrifices as well as for the upkeep of the temple. Now, the amount that was paid each year was equal to about 2 days' wages. And as a result, large amounts of money were collected for the temple through this tax. And we read in verse 24 that the collectors of the 2 drachma tax, they approached Peter and asked him, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" And without consulting Jesus, Peter, he immediately replied, "Of course he does." And after Peter had answered the question, he then went to Jesus to ask him if he paid the tax. But even before Peter could open his mouth to ask the question, Jesus began to teach him by asking Peter, "So Peter, what do you think? Who do kings tax? Is it their own family or commoners?" And Peter kind of is probably thinking to himself and responds, "Well, that's a bit of a dumb question. Of course the kings tax the commoners. After all, the kings charged the taxes so that they could then support their families." And then Jesus replies, "My point exactly. The king's children are exempt." Now back in Luke chapter 2, we read about how Mary and Joseph, they took Jesus when he was 12 years old to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And on the way back to Nazareth, Mary and Joseph, they realised that Jesus, he wasn't with them. They'd accidentally left him behind in Jerusalem. So like all good parents who have left their children behind somewhere by mistake, they rushed back to Jerusalem, and 3 days later, they found Jesus. He was in the temple courts, confounding the priests with his knowledge. And when Jesus and his parents asked him, they asked him, "Why have you treated us like this? You know, we've been anxiously looking for you." And Jesus' response to his parents was, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" In John chapter 2, we read that when Jesus returned to Jerusalem as an adult, he entered the temple courts to find that there were people there selling cattle, sheep, doves, and there were others who were exchanging money. And how did Jesus respond to what he saw? Well, he was angry with the dishonest and greedy men who were making money in the temple courts. As a result, he let all the cattle go, he turned the tables over and scattered the coins everywhere. And he said, "Get these things out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market?" And in tonight's passage from Matthew, Jesus, he was really asking Peter, "Should I pay a tax in order to support my Father's house?" And in asking that question, Jesus, he was reminding Peter who his Father was. Jesus used this opportunity to make the point that he is king. But Peter's lesson, it didn't end there. As Jesus continued to say to Peter, "So that we don't offend them, let's go and pay the tax." And in verse 27, we read how Jesus tells Peter to go down to the lake to throw a line in the water and catch a fish. By now, I'm sure that Peter's probably thinking, okay, I came to tell you about the temple tax, and now you've told me to go fishing. But Jesus wasn't finished yet. As he then said, as soon as you catch the fish, open its mouth, and there will be a coin that will pay for your temple tax and for my tax as well. Jesus the King, he didn't have to pay the tax, but Jesus chose to do it so that he didn't offend those who were there and so that they would understand his kingship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we read that we are also, we're Christ's ambassadors. And an ambassador is someone who travels to another country. And when they get there, they obey the local law in order to represent the country that sent them. And as believers, we are also Christ's ambassador. We're foreigners here on earth because our loyalty is to our King, and that is Jesus. And as a result, we still have to cooperate with the authorities and be responsible citizens here. So my question for each of us tonight is, are you being a good ambassador for Christ? Are your words, your actions, are they pointing people to Jesus? Or are you a distraction and preventing your friends, your neighbours and your family from coming to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Saviour? In tonight's reading, we also see how God provided for Jesus and for Peter in a miraculous way. And God, he also provides for our needs as well. It might not be as dramatic as finding a coin in a fish's mouth. But in the past week, past month, past year, how has God provided for your needs? At some stage in your life, has money come from an unexpected source, which has met that financial need that you had? Has someone offered to fix your car? Or maybe someone you knew was replacing one of their appliances and yours are broken and they chose to give it to you. In Exodus we also read how God brought the Israelites out of Egypt and how they wandered through the desert, which was a dry and barren land. It was a dead place. There was no apparent hope of survival. But it was here that the Israelites, they stayed there for 40 years. And it was in this setting that God met the needs of the Israelites. He provided food and water, not just once, but every day for 40 years. And in my own life, the past 32 months, it's been pretty difficult as my health hasn't been 100%. What started out as what I thought was an acute back pain was actually some nodules growing on my lungs. And as a result, they were causing a lot of pain. Every time I coughed, sneezed, moved, anything I did, every time I did anything, it was quite painful and uncomfortable. Yet over the past 32 months, God has continually provided for my needs and my family needs. When the doctors were trying to work out what was exactly wrong with me, and then being told that you might have lung cancer or one of these other diseases which isn't too nice to hear about, let alone have, it wasn't easy for me or my family. But God was always there, giving us strength to face each day. The first 12 months, when it hurt to breathe, cough, sneeze, burp, or do anything that required moving, all I can say is praise God, because during that period of 12 months, no one in our family got gastro. For those of you who know my family and my boys, gastro is something that they, for some reason, like to pick up and pass on and share with the family. But God answered that prayer, because that would have been excruciating pain to, I won't go into more details. But anyway, God answered that prayer. He provided for that need as well. And a week after getting sick, we were due to shift house as well. And I was stuck on the couch and couldn't do anything. But God, again, provided for that need. He brought a great team around us and shifted everything for us. And when I've had to see doctors and specialists, I've been able to get into the appointments fairly quickly. With one of them, it was only a 6-month wait to get in, but I was able to get in within 2 months. God, again, provided for that need. Meals were dropped off for my family. Others came and mowed our lawns. We had wood delivered for our wood fire. Others came and helped with odd jobs around the house that physically I just couldn't do. The last 32 months hasn't been it all easy. But as we look back over the last 32 months, we can see how God has continually and still does provide for the needs that my family and I have. And at the moment, fatigue would be one of my biggest struggles. I get tired very easy and often require a power nap in the afternoon. And yes, I've had days where I just want to stay in bed and not get out of bed. But God has always been faithful. He's always helped me through and helped me to do the things that I need to do. And take this past week. It's been one of the busiest weeks I've had in the past 3 years. Yes, tonight I'm really tired, but all I can say is praise God for giving me the strength to be able to be here and be able to stand up and think clearly and all those sorts of things that go with it. God has provided for my needs. But what about for you tonight? What needs do you have? We all have the need for work. We all have the need to have money to pay for the bills, to have some form of recreation, the need for good health, the need for education, the need to know that we are loved and needed. But the greatest need that all of us have is to be saved. We all need forgiveness from the sin that is in our lives. Romans 3 verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We all need to be saved. John 14 verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We can't be saved on our own. It is only through Jesus. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, we read that Jesus bore our sins on the tree so that we might die to the sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Jesus has provided a way in which all of us can be saved. In Romans 10 verse 9, it clearly states that we are forgiven and we are saved when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. So if you haven't yet received forgiveness, can I encourage you to speak to Greg or myself at the end of the service? God can and he does meet the needs that we have because he loves us and he cares for us. And in Philippians 4 verse 19, we're reminded, as it says, "And my God made all your needs according to your rich, glorious riches in Christ Jesus." So what needs have you brought with you here tonight? Are they physical? Are they personal? Spiritual? Or emotional? Whatever your need is, can I encourage you to keep bringing it before God in prayer and allowing God to answer it in whatever way that he sees best. There was a shipwreck and there was one survivor from this shipwreck and he was washed up on a small uninhabited island and he prayed to God for God to rescue him. And every day he scanned the horizon for help, but he couldn't see help coming. Exhausted and worn out, he went and managed to build a little shelter for himself out of the driftwood that was there. Then one day after scavenging for some food, he came back to find his little hut in flames, smoke going up into the sky. Everything he had was lost. He was stunned, he was sad, he was angry. And he cried out to God, "God, how could you do this to me? I had so little, and you've taken it away." And early the next day, he was awakened by the sound of a ship that had come to rescue him. "How did you know I was here?" he asked. And they replied, "We saw your smoke signal." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know what our needs are. We thank you that you love us and you care for us and that you are able to meet the needs that we have. And Lord, even when things seem difficult in our eyes, help us to trust in you, knowing that you are all-powerful, can meet the needs that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.